Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Doug McIntyre in for John and Ken. We're here till 4 when Timmy comes along. We hope you have a great 4th of July if you're heading out of town, and hopefully you won't have too much trouble on the roads or in the air or however you go, wagon train, whatever you're doing. And we got a busy hour for you here. In fact, Tim will join us in a bit. We're going to give you a chance to win some money. John Lewin's going to join us. L.A. Deputy District Attorney is going to talk about that mysterious case of the people who broke into mayor, at the time candidate, but mayor Karen Bass's house and stole two guns. And they're going to the Who's Gow, and he's going to talk to us about why that's happening. And of course, Narcan has become a staple of American life, which is tragic, and yet it's a lifesaver, so I suppose it's a good thing. But how did we get to the point where it's going to be sold commercially in stores and stored as in part of school supplies like Band-Aids? And, you know, that's where we're at right now with this terrible opioid addiction. And the missus, Penny Pizer, will join us in just a bit to talk about the late, great Alan Arkin. She played Alan Arkin's daughter in The In-Laws, one of the classic AFI 50 greatest comedies ever made. Wonderful actress. So we'll get into all that. But I wanted to talk about something. A couple of weeks ago, I drove to Van Nuys, Sherman Oaks Park. I mentioned earlier in the show, I play old man softball. So we had a pickup game. I left the house at 8 in the morning, which should have been plenty of time to reach my destination. Unfortunately, the 101 was extra grouchy, so Waze sent me meandering through a labyrinth of surface streets, including a long jog north to Sherman Way before heading south on Van Nuys Boulevard. Now, Van Nuys Boulevard at one point in our distant past was sort of like the postcard of life in the San Fernando Valley of Southern California. It's where people cruised on weekend nights and teenagers went out to make out in cars, and there were shops and elegant people buying handbags and men were wearing snap brim hats. Now, this is a long time ago, and I want to qualify all of this by saying I'm not a nostalgic person. I mean, I, as a general, I don't think that we're ever going back to some golden era in the past. And by the way, nobody thought it was a golden era in the past when we were there. Everybody in the 50s were waiting for Russian nuclear bombs to wipe us out, you know? It wasn't a golden pass if you were a person of color. There were lots and lots of things about the past that sucked, okay? But with that said, there's lots of things about today that suck. And this was an eye-opener for me. So I'm heading down Van Nuys Boulevard on a weekday morning. And the ride down Van Nuys was a journey through a dystopian gauntlet of boarded-up storefronts, abandoned sofas, overflowing trash cans, homeless shanties abutting graffiti-splattered cinder blocks and plywood. What was once the epicenter of commerce and culture in the San Diego Valley is now, it's so depressing. And this was the real eye-opener. There's an X-ray, there's a dirty bookstore on the corner of, I think, Victory and Van Nuys. You know where it is, right, Eric?
I went to Van Nuys High School. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, that X-rated video store was there. It's boarded up. It's closed down. Now, when the dirty bookstore, when a neighborhood is too seedy for a dirty bookstore, that's more than a cry for help. All right? They can't even get perverts to go there. So being a man of certain years and having chugged three large coffees before I got stuck in hideous traffic, I needed to use the men's room pronto when I got to Van Nuys Sherman Oaks Park for my softball game. And the porta potties at the park are not fit for humans. So I went to the senior citizen center next door to use the men's room. Now, stick with me on this. Here's the first offense. Nobody at the senior citizen center said, "How old are you?" They waved me in and asked if I wanted the shepherd's pie and would I like to sign up for the 10 o'clock macrame class. So I go into the men's room. I'm wearing softball. There's no side pockets. I'm holding my car keys. The urinal is broken, so I have to use the regular toilet in the stall. I flush the toilet, and as I flush the toilet, I drop my car keys, and they go right down the toilet. Gone. Gone instantly. All right, now I got to call the wife and I got to tell her you got to come down here in the same traffic I just drove in to bring the extra set of keys. That went over real well. Now, here's the reason that I'm telling you this story. Had the traffic not been awful, I might not have had the urgent need of a bathroom. Had the porta potties at the park not been biohazards, I might not have gone to the senior citizen center. If I knew how to macrame, I might have taken the class and not gone in at all, right? So there's 100 things that could have gone differently that would have prevented me from flushing my car keys down the toilet. And that's exactly how Van Nuys Boulevard ended up the way it is right now. It's not one thing. It's 100 things that led to Van Nuys Boulevard looking like it currently does. Back in the American graffiti days of car and sock hops, Van Nuys Boulevard, as I said, was where the cool kids congregated for burgers and cokes, cruising and kissing. Men shopped for slacks and fedoras. Women tried on shoes and lunched with the ladies. The trendy shops are long gone, replaced by bodegas selling beer and lottery tickets and bongs. For rent signs in multiple languages have yet to produce any takers. Everything's for rent. Nobody's moving in. And why would they? Well, like my men's room disaster, lots of things undid Van Nuys Boulevard and countless other thriving neighborhoods. This is not just a San Fernando Valley issue. This is happening all over California. And frankly, it's happening all over America. And, you know, urban decay, we've been talking about this for 50 years, maybe more. I remember being in Utica, New York, upstate New York, in the Rust Belt, having to take an Amtrak train, and the ceiling of the train station had collapsed, and no one cared. There was just rainwater coming right into the terminal. So this is a big problem, but how does it happen? Well, lots of things caused Van Nuys Boulevard. For instance, kids started going to the mall. Taste changed, demographics changed, the Galleria's open, the Westfield's open. So they started going to the malls instead of main streets. Then the internet came along and they crushed what was left of the mom and pops. And by the way, put a torpedo into the malls too. So why fight traffic and risk a ticket at a parking meter? Why get hit up by a panhandler who's begging? Why fall victim to an unprovoked attack by a tragic lost soul who should be in a mental hospital or rehab facility, but has been condemned to the streets and he's swinging a belt over his head? Customers just stopped shopping. They started, you know, stopped cruising. The stores started failing and the landlords lost their shirts. Buildings started to decay. And our city councilors and our mayors ignored it all. They ignored the pleas for help first in English, then they ignored the pleas for help in Spanish, and now they ignore the pleas for help in every language. They just let it happen. And the irony is Van Nuys Boulevard, there's all kinds of city offices. There's a big courtroom building. There's a county, the Marvin Browdy building is there. But you go one block north of where they go, and it's hell. And it's embarrassing. It really is. Somebody from out of town driving down Van Nuys Boulevard, this represents America's second largest city? It wasn't one thing that did in Van Nuys Boulevard, just it isn't one thing causing name brands like Whole Foods and Nordstrom's to pull out of downtown San Francisco and everyone but junkies to bail on downtown Portland, Oregon. The disaster dominoes tumble one after the other, and L.A. Mayor Karen Bass should take the same drive that I took. She should go up to Sherman Way and then drive down Van Nuys Boulevard at 9 in the morning on a weekday and take a look at it all the way to the government center. But here's the problem. If the mayor takes us up on this and she goes for that ride, I hope she sits in the front seat of the chauffeur-driven SUV, because the city of L.A. and America in general looks way different when you're in the back with the tinted windows on either side. All right, Penny Pies are coming up. We're going to talk about Alan Arkin. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere and on the iHeart Radio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, in a little bit, we're going to talk with L.A. District Deputy District Attorney John Lewin about the peculiar Karen Bass case where someone broke into her house and stole a couple of handguns. Those guys are going to jail, and the question is, why are they going to jail? No one else seems to go to jail in L.A. So we'll get into that, and we'll also talk about Narcan in stores. Run down and pick up some cotton balls and some Narcan when you're at the local Walgreens or CVS. Meanwhile, the word came last night that the great Alan Arkin died at 89 years of age. And you may have seen him recently in the Kominsky Method. But he starred over a very, very long career in just a remarkable string, an incredible body of work, including one of the great comedies ever made in the 1970s, The In-Laws, which just played as one of the featured films at the Turner Classic Movie Film Festival at the Chinese Theater. And as it turns out, he's always been sort of personal to in our house because my wife, Penny Pizer, was one of the stars of The In-Laws, and she worked with Alan and remained friends with Alan over his long and great career. And she's with us to share some memories of him right now. Welcome aboard, Penny Pizer.
Hi, Doug. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for being with us. And, you know, of all the things that you did, Penny, All the President's Men, The Frisco Kid, which is another film that's very popular, they've held up. The In-Laws is a top 50 all-time great comedy as selected by AFI. And we just saw it playing on that big screen at the Chinese Theater with an audience. A lot of people had not seen the film back in the 70s, and it just killed. Big laughs.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just one of those little miracles, and it was a little miracle that I got to participate. So,
well, let's start with that story because it's a good story. You auditioned for that movie and you didn't get the part.
I didn't get the part, which surprised me because it was one of those very few times where I auditioned and I thought, well, I think I'm going to book this, which I almost never feel, and I didn't get it, and I went, okay, moving on. And then I suddenly got a phone call, I don't know, two months later, don't remember. Oh, actually, I got a beep on my beeper, and I ran to a phone booth and called my agent. And they said, you've got to get down to Warner Brothers right away. They want you on the In-Laws set tomorrow at 5 a.m., and you've got to go in and get a fitting for a wedding dress. And I was like, yikes. So I ran from where I was, dirty hair and jeans and all, and met Arthur Hiller and Alan Arkin, and I said to them, you know, I thought you were going to cast me, and Arthur Hiller said, yeah, I did too, but oh well. But anyway, so it was great. I was thrilled. You know, one actress's loss was my gain.
Now, who was that actress? Because they started shooting the movie.
They did start shooting the movie. Well, should I say who?
Yeah,
it was?
Sure, it's fun.
Okay, well, it was my union president, Fran Drescher.
So Fran Drescher was supposed to play the part, but you got the part. And then you're working with Peter Falk and Alan Arkin. And folks, if you haven't seen the movie, as a tribute to Alan, go rent the movie tonight. Go. You'll find it online.
Absolutely.
Just watch it.
It's so good.
So you're working with these two masters. Talk to us a little bit about what Alan was like to work with.
Well, Alan was just, he was just a joy. He was available. He was not, you know, he was not someone who, I mean, I was very green at the time. I had done some work, but, you know, I was not, you know, someone with a lot of film notches on her belt. And he just was lovely. And we, you know, we'd do things like, I mean, he let it be, you know, he kept his guitar on the set. So, you know, he was saying, you know, we should play. So I brought my guitar and we sat around in our PJs one day when we had spent a couple days in our pajamas shooting some of the scenes. And so we would sit outside playing our guitars and singing, you know, waiting for the setup. And then there was a word game called Boggle that was very popular at that time. And Alan sat there forever with us playing Boggle in the living room. I mean, it was just very homey. It was very homey and wonderful, and a lot of laughs on and off set. And
We're talking with actress Penny Pizer, who has a new book out, by the way, called Sonnets from Suburbia, More Candles Than Cake, which is available at Amazon.com. And Alan actually wrote an endorsement for your book.
Yes, he did. I mean, he's a writer himself, and I think he's even written some poetry. And he had looked at, I guess I had gone down to visit him on the set of the Kominsky Method, because my friend Donald Petrie was directing. And I told him a little bit about my sonnets that I was writing at the time. And I had a YouTube channel, which is a very little seen YouTube channel, where I made videos of my sonnets. And he checked it out, and he was kind of enthusiastic about it. And so when I was getting ready for my book to be published, I got in touch with him because, you know, unknown writers need testimonials. They're very important. And I asked him if he would have a read, and if he felt comfortable, you know, write something for my book jacket. And he said, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm really qualified. And I said, you're qualified. Just so he read it, and then he wrote something lovely for me, which is on the back of my book. And I'm just so happy to have that memento.
Now, this is a really bizarre story, too, because Alan, whose career spanned like seven decades, including The Great Russians Are Coming, Russians Are Coming from 1967, right. The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. He's a Second City veteran. I didn't realize this. I just read this in his obit. He directed the original production of The Sunshine Boys, Neil Simon's classic comedy on Broadway, which I had no...
I had forgotten that, too.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I read that in his obit today.
So that's kind of amazing. And what's also amazing is he ended up in our living room doing an acting class. How did that happen?
Well, I was in an acting class taught by my friend Andy Block, who was also a good friend of Alan's. He was actually in the play Room Service that Alan directed in New York, and that's how they became friends. And Alan was in town, and at that point in time, gosh, I don't remember what decade that was. He was going around the country running improv workshops, and they were usually like full-blown two-day seminars. But he was going to be in town, and Andy said that he was willing to just do a one-day thing. And so we gathered about 10 actors together, and Alan agreed to come over to the house. And we made a day of it, and it was it's a dream. You know, Alan Arkin's in our living room.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Where was I, by the way? I got kicked out of the house for 8 hours.
I'm sorry, honey. You got banished. Yeah, you kind of did.
It was for a greater good. Well, he was one of the classic, really genuinely classic actors for drama or comedy, stage or film and television, worked all the time, and a wonderful person. And we thank you for coming on and sharing those memories with us. And don't
My
forget,
pleasure.
If you want to get Penny's book, Amazon.com, Sonnets from Suburbia, More Candles Than Cake, you can read Alan's endorsement. Thanks so much, Penny. Appreciate it. Coming up, we're going to go back to this Karen Bass story. Her house was robbed, two guns stolen. They're sending the criminals to the Hoosgow, and we're going to talk about why are they going to jail. John Lewin's going to join us, L.A. Deputy District Attorney.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity, and it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, for product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at AvalonWaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Tim Conway Jr. coming up at 4 o'clock. And if you're heading out of town, have a safe and glorious 4th of July. Come back with all your fingers and your eyebrows, please. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on September 9th, burglars broke into then-candidate, she was Congresswoman, candidate for mayor, Karen Bass, and they stole two handguns identified as .38 caliber revolvers. They left behind cash and electronics. I thought, well, this is strange. And then a few days later, there was an announcement that perps had been arrested. People of interest had been arrested. And then nothing until the news broke that they have sentenced Patricio Muñez and Juan Espinosa to prison, with Muñez getting 2 years in jail and Espinosa, who had a prior conviction for burglary, he was sentenced to 32 months in the slammer. Now, here's the question. The question is, why these guys? Why are they going to jail? It seems like everybody else is out on the street, and this often before the cop is finished filling out the paperwork. To explain this to us, it's a pleasure to welcome L.A. Deputy District Attorney, the man who put Robert Durst away, amongst many, many others. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show John Lewin. John, how are you?
I'm doing well, Doug. So let me ask your question very simply. The reason why they went to prison is because it's politically expedient for George Gascon to send them there. He follows his policies as long as they are politically expedient. When they're not, he will disregard them. In a normal case, Nobody goes to prison. Trust me, I run a calendar ever since I was the subject of a retaliatory transfer. I now reside in Inglewood, where I handle a calendar every day after 20 years in Major Crimes Division. So I'm running a calendar, and I'm seeing how actually the sausage gets made. It's not pretty. And what happens day after day after day is George Gascon's policies, and I want to be clear what his policies are. When he came in, his policies are, number one, everybody, the presumptive is no bail. You get out. It's so bad, Doug, that if you literally were already out on bail and you commit a crime while out on bail, we're not allowed to add the allegation that says you committed this crime while out on bail. It's just absolutely insane. So everyone gets out on bail. Now, what's interesting is my understanding, and I'm only going with what's been reported in the news, apparently the bail in this case originally was $100,000 for one defendant and $200,000 for the other. You never see that. But of course, this is a case where the media is watching and George Gascon wants to pretend that he's tough on crime. In fact, when they eventually ended up being sent to prison, which is completely out of the normal, he says, quote, many of these stolen guns are then used to commit violent crimes. Violent crimes, which George Gascon will not, as a policy, charge extra time for using a firearm. So he is a hypocrite. He is incompetent. He is absolutely a danger to our county.
Now, John, one of the mysteries about this case is, I mean, it just screams that there's some kind of an inside job. Maybe in the trial it was explained, but it certainly hasn't been reported that these guys break into the house of a congresswoman who's running for mayor of Los Angeles, and they knew exactly where the guns were. They went to a closet. They took the guns. They bypassed cash, jewelry, and electronics, which is not what burglars usually do. It just screams of an inside job. Do we know anything about, did they do it on their own initiative? Were they sent by somebody else to get them?
Doug, I have no information whatsoever regarding how this crime was committed or what the motives are. I can tell you, though, particularly in the inner city, in communities of color, crime is rampant. Individuals who just want to be safe in their own homes have to worry about burglars coming in. They have to worry about gangsters walking down the street because George Gascon won't file any gang allegations, because George Gascon doesn't want to put anybody in prison. You decapitate your two children, decapitate them, cut their heads off. George Gascon says no special circumstances. His view is anybody should be eligible for a reevaluation of their prison sentence after 15 years. And he's brought in a bunch of public defenders who he's made put in senior positions in violation of civil service rules, which our association is going after right now. There are promotions that happen today, and I'm waiting to see if his public defenders are going to be the ones promoted to the highest civil service rank in our office. Individuals who, until coming over, had never prosecuted a case, several of them still haven't personally prosecuted any cases. So this is George Gascon, Doug. This is who he is. This is what he does. And this is why our county right now is an absolute war zone. And we'd love to tell George about it, but he never shows up for work. You don't see him. His chief deputy apparently commutes from San Francisco at least a part of the week. He's got an ex-grade two, a guy who had four trials and was in his early 30s when he was named the chief deputy of the office. He appears to be running things as chief of staff. That's when he's not getting arrested. As you're aware, this was publicized, getting arrested for an incident where he says police committed misconduct. He has a videotape, and then he never turns that videotape over, even though under the law, it is a felony for us if we have that type of Brady exculpatory evidence and do not turn it over. It's been 2 years now, and George Gascon won't answer any questions. He has an Instagram thing. He loves social media, and he has an Instagram thing called Ask the DA. I've asked 30 questions. Any guess, Doug, on how many questions have been answered?
I'm guessing he's like the New York Mets offense, 0 for 30.
Yeah, no. Well, listen, even the Mets, in their worst years, get more hits than this guy does. Yeah, no response, yeah. Nothing, absolutely zero. Oh. Now, On the plus side, I do hear from George Gascon want to abolish prisons. I had the nerve to apparently repeat what they've said, and they are now accusing me of racial animus. So that's the world we live in, Doug.
Yeah, no, it's quite a world. It's an amazing world, John, when the person who is the mayor of the city of Los Angeles can have the house broken into, a weapon stolen, and we literally have no reporting on what the nature of the actual crime was. You'd think that people would want that information in addition to an actual justice system that produces justice. John, thanks so much for all you do. We appreciate you being with us. That's John Lewin, L.A. Deputy District Attorney, calling on his own time, by the way.
Yeah. Doug, we got to get John McKinney elected District Attorney of this county. Well, this is an African-American Democrat who can turn this county and this office around. Well, people need to get angry, and they need to get active, and they need to do it yesterday.
All right,
Thank
John.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on with us. Appreciate it.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Because I'm running out of time here, let me thank everybody here at KFI, Ray Lopez and Eric and the whole gang, Deborah Mark, everybody in the newsroom, for making it possible for me to come in here and squat for a couple of days. And, you know, the court order just came in. The Supreme Court also ruled I have to leave. So I'll be out of here after this. But it's been really fun getting a chance to sit in here and play with all of you, and appreciate it very much. By the way, if you want to come out and say hello, I'm going to be at Barnes & Noble right at the Grove Farmers Market in the middle of L.A. on July 16th. My debut novel, Frank's Shadow, will be doing a reading and a book signing. So come on out and say hello from 7 to 9 p.m. If you can't make that, I'll be at Gatsby's in Long Beach on July 22nd at noon. Pages, a bookstore, on July 26th. And Barnes & Noble at the Irvine Spectrum August 2nd, and Vroman's in Pasadena on August 9th. And you can always buy it at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. This is a fascinating story. It's a sad commentary on how far we have sunk as a people. San Francisco could become the first city in the country to require every pharmacy within its boundaries to always carry Narcan, you know, the anti-overdose drug attributable to the fentanyl epidemic. Over 70% of the 647 accidental deaths in San Francisco in 22 were attributable to fentanyl. This is happening everywhere. It's a catastrophe. And I don't know what it is about modern life in this country that makes so many people destroy their lives on these clearly lethal drugs. And we get away with it. The opioid addiction, whether it's Purdue Pharma or the open borders or loosey-goosey district attorneys that let people out of jail, it's a catastrophe that's killing more people every year than we lost in 10 years in Vietnam, and we just allow it to happen. It's outrageous. Speaking of outrageous.
Thank you, buddy. Well, you're an ex-smoker, right? So you come from that perspective of, you know, I got my life together. You should too, right?
Well,
preachy on that, huh, Doug McIntyre?
Well, I think the word is hypocrisy. No. Timmy, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Hey, man, I hope a million people show up to buy that book of yours.
I'll settle for 5.
Is that right? All right. Man, you're all over the place with that book, though.
Well, I got to. It took me 25 years to get the damn thing published. So here's the thing.
How long have you been writing it?
Literally, I started in 1998.
Oh, so you had to go in and reverse and check references.
Well, you know what happened?
Because you can get canceled for crap you said in 98.
No, but here's the thing. It's set in 1998, so I can do whatever I want.
Right.
But here's the thing. Because it took me a quarter century to finish it, whatever is said about me as a novelist, prolific is not going to be one of them. Because the next book, it's going to debut at Forest Lawn.
I'll tell you a quick story about writing a book. My dad wrote a book after being years of hounded.
I have it.
Oh, good for you. Okay. And he sold out so quickly, and he sold so many of them that they asked for a second book, right? A second book. They're going to write a second book. So my dad says, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. So he sits down in his typewriter and he writes for a week. And he gives it to Charlene, my stepmother, and she's the greatest critic because she'll tell him if it sucks or if it's great, whatever. And she said, it's fantastic. It's the greatest, some of the greatest stuff you've ever written. One downside, though, it's all in your first book.
Oh, yeah. He wrote it twice. He wrote the same book twice.
So he said, he had a great point. He goes, look, if I don't remember it's in the book, then the people buying it aren't going to remember.
Something? How do you argue with that?
Yes. So you just put another cover on it and let it go.
Well, maybe my next book will be called Earl's Shadow. just cross out all the Franks.
What is this book about?
Well,
since you have a huge audience on KFI, you can tell us.
I had a friend whose dad died the same day Frank Sinatra died.
Oh, wow.
And they're approximately the same age. And I started to think about, and you're the perfect person to talk about this because you had a very famous father.
That's right.
The way we value lives, that one death was satellite news ricocheting around the world, and the other guy's death was in the back of the paper by the racing results of the mattress ads. Right. And they had to pay to put him there. So that's really what the book started by. I wrote a story about a guy who goes home to bury his dad, and he realizes, tasked with the eulogy, that he knows everything about Frank Sinatra, down to he was a forceps baby,
wow.
but he knows nothing about really his own father.
Oh, that's great.
And he tries to go discover who he is. But, you know, we had this in the house because Penny, my wife, Penny Pizer, was friends with Alan Arkin, so we learned that Alan Arkin died on the news.
Right.
You know, and that's what happens with fame. It's an odd, in this town in particular, we have a strange relationship with fame because you know a lot of people. You
sure.
can easily know people who are famous personally.
And then during the pandemic, you didn't have time to read about other people's deaths because people in your house were dying.
That's absolutely true. In fact, it's funny you should say that because I remember having this conversation with a couple of friends that the pandemic, COVID devalued
everything.
Funerals.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right.
You know, like legends, like Carl Reiner died during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
If Carl Reiner had died under normal times, the town would have shut down. We would have seen memorial services and everywhere now. But now grandmother died.
Right.
You know, people were dying all over the place. So it kind of just became this fatalistic acceptance.
And then you read articles now or you read stuff about celebrities. And they'll say, like, for instance, like Adam Rich, the kid on Eight Is Enough. And you go, oh, I wonder what he's doing. And you look, oh, he's dead.
Yeah, they just vanished.
He died during the pandemic. I didn't know that.
Now I got to vanish. What do you got coming up in the show?
I don't know. What did they
did
give me
Did you do
today?
Any show prep at all?
No.
Anything other than park
Alex, the car? Alex Michelson's coming on. Hannah Strummer. She's a kid. Bellio, is that right? That's that kid who we had in here. And she was like 8 or 9 years old. Now she's become like a big singer.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And we literally had on the show like 13 or 14 years ago.
So you launched a career, clearly.
Yeah.
She owes it all to you.
If there were two girls in here and said one of them is Hannah, I'm like, I don't know. I can't tell. And I don't know. I have no idea who that is.
Well, you're going to find out on the Tim Conway
That's right.
Junior
and then
show.
Billy Ray's coming on with us to talk about the strike.
Whoa, how fascinating.
Yeah, that's right.
I got to talk to you about that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks
Ding
so much
dog,
for letting me squad. I'm getting out of here. Doug McIntyre.com.
McIntyre, you're great,
this
dude.
This is KFI AM 640
Ding
live
dog,
everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, you've been listening to The John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it. Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at AvalonWaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.